Welcome to Soul Church Norwich Podcast. We pray this message will encourage and inspire you.
I want to say welcome to everyone on Facebook Live who's joining us from around the world right now. Great to have you with us and those listening on podcast and online. So let's welcome all of our online viewers. Send us a little comment. Let us know where you are watching it from. If you're watching it from Norwich, you should be in church and your computer might break down during this service. Apparently a pastor said that once and it did. Literally blew up. Just warning you. You know who I'm talking to. We're starting a brand new series today called This Belongs to God. This belongs to God. We started it this morning. It really came out of some thoughts that we had towards the end of our last series. And very rarely do I advertise a book on stage unless I feel it's worthwhile for individuals to read it. But this book by Pastor Louis Giglio from Passion City Church, Atlanta, Georgia, has definitely helped me on my personal journey. I would never recommend a book to you that's just been recommended to me I haven't read, but this book has definitely been a game changer for me called Goliath Must Fall, talking about the story of David and Goliath, but really unpacking it and helping us with the Goliaths that we face in our lives. And some of the thoughts from this book are going to be picked up in this series, This Belongs to God. So I want to encourage you, we will have these available hopefully next week in the Resource Center. You'll be able to grab a copy. If not, you can download it online on your tablet in the week. So that's where the series has come from. And all of us face challenges. All of us face disappointments, pain, setbacks in life. And the question is not the reality of what we face in life. The question is, how do we respond? We're all going to have disappointments. We're all going to have things that might go right or wrong in life. But the question has to be, how do I respond to bad news? How do I respond when life does not play along? And so to really help us get into the spirit of this, we've got some of these beautiful stamps that say this belongs to God. They're available in the Resource Center. And when you get an invoice that you can't pay, you can just stamp it. Pretty cool. When you've got situations, maybe a report from the doctor that is not that positive, just stamp it and say, God, this is just a little faith statement to say, this belongs to God. I've given the accounts team, they've all got one each at church. But I think it's just another way. There's little ones as well. And you can just stamp things. We've been having a lot of fun with this, but it's actually a statement to say, there's a whole lot of things in life that I don't know what to do with, but they belong to God. This belongs to God. And we've also got we've got some picture frames available as well. I think it's stunning, isn't it? And they're available in the Resource Center as well. And it just helps you, every time you get a challenge you need, you just look up in your office and say, actually, this belongs to God. And it's just a little faith stir. And so, hey, there we go. There we go. So they're available out in the resource area after the service. We've also got a website, which I'm really excited about, called thisbelongstogod.com. We've created it from Soul Church. We own the website. We own the domain. And when you have a situation that comes up in your life, you can go on there. You don't have to put your name, but you can put the details of what it is, and you can send it in, and it goes straight to our prayer team. You can put your number if you want someone to call, if you need someone to talk to. And it's just another way to virtually access some support and some prayer online when you're facing various situations. And we want this series to be a real game changer for our church and for you. So make sure you check out thisbelongstogod.com. We're also going to have some screensavers available for your phone. I've got one on my phone. So every time you pick up your phone, which is pretty often, you can just see that as a screensaver. This belongs to God. That'll be on our Instagram story feed later. You can just screenshot that and save it as a photo and put that on there. Our key verse for this series comes from Gospel of John chapter 8 verse 32. And it says, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. Who knows, we're in a world that is deprived of truth right now. And Jesus was talking to the Jews here, and he wasn't saying, hey, if you know more of the law, if you know more of Moses' commandments, you'll be set free. He was talking about the truth of his glorious grace and his love. And this whole series is aimed at people being set free. I am tired of seeing people so pulled down in life, cut up in life because of their past, because of their challenges, because of their things that they're facing. And so we've got a series of messages beginning tonight or this morning, tonight, and then next week, my beautiful wife, Chantel, who's looking more and more Mexican after her holiday, she's going to be talking next week on the subject, My Problems Belong to God. So you don't want to miss next Sunday. Anyone got any problems? Bring them next Sunday. Chantel will sort that out. Our time belongs to God. Anyone need more time? Does anyone get to the end of the day and think, where's it gone? We're all busy. I believe that there's a secret in the scripture to time that can help us when it comes to managing it. Sowing our time and reaping our time in the right areas. Our emotions belong to God. Has anyone ever met anyone who gets angry? Obviously, it's not you. We're going to talk about emotions. Our emotions belong to God. Our addictions belong to God. Addictions, destructive addictions, which have the potential to destroy our lives. Things which happen in secret. Things which happen in the dark of night, which we would never like to talk about in the light of day. You know, the greatest addiction in society right now isn't alcohol, it is not drugs. The greatest addiction in this world right now is the approval of others. The approval of others. People are desperate for approval. Then we're going to talk about our story belongs to God. You know, everyone has a story. Everyone's life is unique. There's never been a life that's completely the same. Even if you're twins, your story is completely different. And I'm really excited that on the Sunday, the 8th of October at 5 p.m., we've got a very special guest who's coming in. She's a very elderly lady, but she's a very special lady. And she's a Holocaust survivor. And we're going to be talking about the power of your story. And I'm going to be interviewing this lady. And, you know, there's only less than 90,000 Holocaust survivors that are left. And we've got the privilege to be able to listen to her story, the power of her story. You know, you've got a story. I've got a story. I get to share my story. We've all got to share our story. God's design for our lives is freedom. God's design for your life is wholeness. God doesn't want you to live bound up. God wants you to live in freedom, but freedom can only be found in right believing. And this series is geared up for help to help us to believe right. You know, if I believe right, I'll live right. But if my belief system is wrong, I'm going to live wrong. And this morning, we looked at the subject of my past belongs to God. Has anyone else got a past, or is it just me? Anyone done anything in the past they wish they hadn't have done? The 15 of us. Anyone done anything in the past they wish they hadn't have done? We looked at three keys to moving past our past this morning. Daily renewing our minds. Letting go of the past so we can be fully alive in today. And reminding ourselves that our past has been paid in full. So we talked about our past belongs to God. Well, tonight I want to speak about something a little bit more positive. I want to talk about our future belongs to God. Our future. And despite what so many people believe, despite what you're seeing that's happening around the world right now, I firmly believe that the best days for you, the best days for the church, the best days for this nation are ahead of us. Yeah. I believe that. Why do I believe that? You say, well, John, that's a very optimistic view of life. I'll tell you why I believe that, because I believe God's word. God's word says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Which means God is still preparing. God has still got things ahead for us. And so I'm not going to stop and just live life in the past or look what life used to be. Actually, I'm believing God that the best days are still ahead of us. And so I want to talk tonight on the subject of my future belongs to God. Chantel and the kids and I, we've just come back from a week in Turkey. And it was a great experience just to be there for a few days. And as I was in Turkey and just having some time out, I realized, which was a bit of a strange revelation, that Turkey, the country of Turkey, is a significant nation in the Bible. It's a significant nation. Now, let me explain why Turkey is such a significant nation. Because it's the nation which God gave humanity a second chance. Who loves the story of Noah's Ark? Growing up, it was between Danny the Lion's Den, David and Goliath, and Noah's Ark. They were the three bedtime stories. I didn't want to hear anything about just one of those three. But Noah's Ark was especially great for a youngster. And Noah's Ark, when it finally came to rest after the floods deceased, it rested on a mountain region called Ararat. Now, Ararat is in Turkey. It wasn't a million miles from where we are. In fact, I've got a picture of the Ararat region. Okay, so this is Mount Ararat. Now, I believe the Bible. Let me just set this out straight from here. I believe every word of the Bible. Okay, some of it I don't fully get. There's a whole lot of things in life that I can see I don't get. Okay, I believe the Bible from the first page to the last page. I believe Noah's Ark is not a fictional Bible school story for kids. I actually believe it happened. In fact, there's been at least 10 expeditions that have gone up to Mount Ararat, and they have discovered wood. They have discovered residences at the bottom of the mountain, but dating back to that time, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, where Noah's Ark would have been, okay? But push that all aside, that region has a significant part to play in our world because it is where God gave humanity his second chance. Now, I want to just read the story of Noah's Ark because I've been meditating on it all week and I want to read it to us. Now, it's a few verses, so you bear with me. Now, most of you might have heard of it. Some of you, it might be new to you, so this will be really helpful. But it's in 20-odd verses in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, and everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, "I've decided to destroy all the living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them out from the earth. I will build a large boat of cypress wood, waterproof it with tar inside out. They will construct decks and stores throughout its interior. I will make the boat 400 feet long, 75 feet wide." It's pretty precise, this. "I'll put the door on the side, build three decks in the inside of the boat, lower, middle, and upper. Verse 17, "Look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die. But I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird, animal, and every small animal scurries along the ground will come to be with you to be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough food for you and for all the animals." Last verse. "So Noah did everything exactly as God commanded." The world had turned its back on God, but there was a righteous man who was 500 years old. Who knows that's a good old age? Who'd like 500? 500 years old, he's got three sons, and he's instructed to build a boat, which is called an ark. And God would destroy the world and start again. It's quite a negative story, really, isn't it? God's wrath taking out humanity because if they turn their backs on him. But as I read these few verses, there's three thoughts that jump out from this few verses, jump out to me for my future. Because I believe that every person in this room, despite what's happened in your past, has a future. You have a future. In fact, you have a bright future. And your future can be far greater than your past, as we can read in these verses. The first thought I have, and I want you to be thinking about this, if you're a student, be thinking about your future. If you're a parent, your future. If you're a grandparent, we all have a future. The first thought is this: my future is always connected to obedience. Verse 22 says, Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. The future of Noah's life, the future of his family, the future of the world, it hinged on one decision. It was this: Noah's obedience. I just want you to think about this. You live in a desert, you've never seen rain in your life, you're 500 years old, and God speaks down from heaven and says, I want you to build a boat. Now, that's crazy. And by the way, here's the specifications. And while you're at it, grab two of every animal, a male and a female, insect, ones that grow on the floor, stick them all in there. I mean, he was mocked, he was scorned, he was made fun of, but Noah was obedient. Now, obedience is not a word that we like. We prefer to do it our way. You like that? We prefer to figure it out ourselves. No one can tell me what to do. I'm 16 years old. I've got life figured out. And the challenge we have in life, and I want you to grab this, is this: comfortableness and obedience butt heads. Now, this is critical. If you want to soar in life, I want you to grab this. There's going to be two emotions that come. One is comfortableness and one is obedience. And when they come at loggerheads, there's a challenge. When Noah asked God to build a boat, comfortable response to that question would have been this. One of two things: you're mad, choose someone else. Anyone with me? If God spoke to you tonight and said he wants you to build a big boat in your back garden, no, I want you to put it in your head. Well, we don't live in a flood region. But your neighbors are going to think you've lost it. They already know you go to that soul church down Mason Road. The guy looks like Gordon Ramsay. My neighbors think I'm potty. Anyway, but the thing is, now you're building a boat in your back garden. And then you go around and, oh, I need to find a frog. Grab the neighbor's cat. Steal a dog. Grab a chicken. And you start putting them in your garden and the boat, and they're all in the window and they're looking down and they're laughing. I mean, that was the scenario times 1,000. That was what Noah did. But this is the thing: comfortableness and obedience. See, we want to live a comfortable life. I don't think it's wrong to want to live a comfortable life. I think it's nice to have rest. We just had a great replenishing time in Turkey. We feel refreshed and ready to rumble. But God's not called you to live a life of comfortableness. He's called you to live a life of obedience. And if you want to walk into your God-given future, here's the thing: you've got to take obedient steps. And obedient steps will often look crazy to everybody else. It's not, oh, Noah's a hero now. Let me tell you, it took 100 years to build the ark. We just think, you know, in the story, you know, the movie, done. 100 years? A lifetime to build a boat? We don't think about that. We don't think about the process. But Noah was obedient to God. Comfort can destroy your life. We live for comfort. When we live for comfort and not for obedience. You know, Norfolk is a very comfortable place to live. That's why so many people come here, especially ex-sportsmen and women. They like to come to Norfolk to retire because it's comfortable. We're kind of a little bit cut off, for good or for bad. We're a bit cut off from the big wide world. And we can very easily get comfortable. But our chance for a purposeful, meaningful life is often robbed by comfort. And if you want to fulfill the destiny and the dreams in your heart, you have to kiss comfort goodnight. And you have to say, God, I am listening to you. I am obedient to your voice. I am not going with the feelings of comfortableness. We can choose the good thing over the God thing. And I've done it. I've chosen good over God. Good felt right. It was the easy option. It cut the corner. But God's saying, hey, I need you to choose my way. I need you to be obedient to me. You know, it's very easy to slip into the thinking as well, oh, it's my life, I'll do what I please. No, you've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. God died for your life. He sent his son Jesus, sorry, to die for your life. I found this, if I have a true revelation that my life belongs to Jesus, whatever he asks me to do, I will do. One of the questions, when Chantal is stunningly beautiful, okay? She gets more beautiful every year, okay? She's a beautiful girl, okay? No, she does. She generally does, okay? But here's the thing. When we started courting, when we started dating, there was a physical attraction. That's for the relationship series. But listen to this. One of the first conversations I had with Chantal was this. I said, if God called us, she'll never forget this. I said, if God calls us to any country in this world to serve him, would you be prepared to come? And if we have children, would you be prepared to bring them? And would you be prepared to lay down your salary, your job? And she said, I will do anything that God asks of me. And let me tell you, we've been put to the test on that. Now, if you're single and you're looking for a spouse, a partner, here's the thing. That's a question you need to be asking. Two good people don't always make one great couple. Because if you bring your thing and she brings her things and they're going that way, you're going to have problems. And all that happens is both of your purposes in life never get fulfilled. Have the honest questions. Say, would you be prepared to do whatever it takes to follow Jesus? I know it's gone quiet in here. I'd rather be up front with you because I've seen so many people, they get married, not bad people, it's just their purposes are so different. It just doesn't align. God created you to take risks. God created you to be a risk taker. I want to ask us a question. I'm asking myself this question. We need to write this down. What could God do with my life if I was prepared to move away from comfort? What could God do with my life? I don't want you to answer that. I want you to think about that in the next few days. When it comes to my future and it comes to living a life of obedience, here's three things to remember when it comes to this whole subject of obedience as Noah's obedience. The first thing to remember is this. Miracles thrive in holy discomfort. Miracles thrive in holy discomfort. The greatest moments of Chantal and I's lives have been a result of uncomfortable decisions. Please hear this. I'm going to say this again. The greatest moments of our lives have been a result of uncomfortable decisions. Is anyone else, can anyone amen that? It's when you make, now as a church right now, we are making some really uncomfortable decisions, which I'm going to be sharing with you at the end of the month. They're decisions which I'm thinking, my goodness. But here's the thing. The greatest miracles thrive on the other side of holy discomfort. And if your whole purpose in life is just to live a safe, comfortable, secure life, I'm coming tonight to rattle you. To rock you and to say, God has called you out of the boat. God has called you not to live a life of comfort, but to live a life of holy obedience. And it's going to require you to take some risks. Miracles thrive in holy discomfort. The second thing is the point of our future is simply the fame of Jesus. Everything we do in life should simply be to make Jesus famous. If God's called you as a businessman or woman, he's called you to finance you, to resource you so you can make Jesus famous, not make you bigger. God is blessing you so you can be a blessing to other people. Sometimes we just need to pull back, evaluate our lives and say, the point of my life is to make Jesus known. That's the point of my life. My life, John Norman's life on this earth, I'm married, I have children, and it's an amazing life, but the point of my life, the purpose of my life is to make Jesus famous in this city. That's the purpose of your life, to make your university know that Jesus is alive, to make your school know that Jesus isn't dead. Make Jesus famous. Follow his steps. There is no cost too great to make Jesus famous. Oh, John, but I might not use my degree. Who cares? If you're making Jesus famous, I've got a diploma I don't use, but it doesn't matter. Maybe God's brought you to Norwich, the university, not to get a degree, but to make Jesus famous in the university. Maybe the degree was the only thing to get you here. Maybe God's positioning you, well, I don't like my job. You don't need to like your job. You want to make Jesus famous in your job. Holy discomfort. I'm getting fired up. What else do we need to remember when it comes to obedience? Miracles thrive in discomfort. The point of our future is the fame of Jesus. The third thing to remember is this. It's a really positive one. Life is short. Life is short. You might live to 70, 80, 90. You might even get your telegram for the Queen. It really doesn't matter. We're all going one day. We don't have time to waste out our lives. We have the hope. We have Jesus. What is God calling you to do? What does holy discomfort look like for you? Maybe it simply means serving on a team. Maybe it means donating. Maybe it means being on one of our Love in Action teams. Maybe it means befriending someone in the cafe. Maybe it means talking to that person at work. Maybe young people, when the child's been bullied in the playground, you step in. What does holy discomfort look like for you? Give something that's sacrificial. When was the last time you gave something away in your life and it actually hurt you? I'm not talking about gave your jeans away because you just bought a new pair. That's not generosity. That's clearing up. Someone came to me the other day and said, oh, I blessed someone with a load of clothes. I was like, oh, what shop did you take them to? Oh, no, it was just my old ones. I was like, you haven't blessed anyone. When was the last time you gave someone that actually hurt? Holy discomfort. Step out for God. Step out for God. Number one, my future is connected to obedience. Number two, and this is so important, my future is connected to the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the bit I want to get to from what God showed me on our holidays. When the waters decease, the ark rests on a mountain range called Ararat. Now, as we're not going to go through it again, but God said, he said, build a large boat. He said, 400 feet long, 7 feet wide, 40 feet high, 18-inch opening at the top, all the way around the boat, put a door on it, 3 decks, lower, middle, and upper. There's one thing that God did not instruct Noah to build. Do you know what that was? Sails or a rudder. This was the first boat in history that had no direction. God never instructed a rudder or sails on the ark. Now, just bear with me because we're going somewhere here. God showed me something a few days ago. Rudders and sails give direction. Now, we like to row our own lives. We like to be in control. Now, if I was Noah, I would be asking some pretty significant questions to God at this point. I will build your boat. I will put the animals on. But there's one little thing that you've missed. Where are we going? Hello? Okay. Let's put it in layman's terms. I send you to the airport. All right? Put you on a plane. What's the first thing you're going to say? Clever. Where are we going? Who would love to go on a plane for 1 year? Because that's how long they were on the water. 1 year, just flying or on a boat with no direction, no compass, no pilot, no one giving you signals on... All it was just sit there. Sit it out. But now wait for this. What was on the ark? A dove. Now what's the dove? The Holy Spirit. So when God instructed Noah to pull out the dove, he was saying, my spirit has been resting on this boat all along. It's always had direction. It always knew where it was going. And even when your life is in a mess and you don't understand and the floodwaters are coming up, the Holy Spirit has always been there. And the Holy Spirit's always going to bring you to safety. There might have not been a rudder, but there was a dove. And there was this internal guidance called the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14, for it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you into your future. The Holy Spirit is the greatest compass for your life. Now, that's not what you wanted to hear tonight. Because you wanted me to tell you, you should do X, Y, and Z to get to your future. And God is saying, I don't work like that. I work like this. There is a Holy Spirit who brings direction. And every morning, you take a moment and you get on your knees or you pray however you pray and you say these simple words, Holy Spirit, come. And the Holy Spirit fills your life. And you don't have to strive about who you're going to marry, what city you're going to live in, what job you're going to get. You don't have to strive about all these different things because the Holy Spirit, the dove inside of you, will be navigating your future and you will bump into your future without having to worry about your future. God had prepared Chantel for me before the dawn of time. All I did was go to college. I was obedient to God saying, get on an airplane. When I went to Bible college in Sydney in 2000, I had a one-way ticket and £500. One-way ticket. God called me to Bible college. I had a one-way ticket. You'd do one-way tickets back then. I had £500. That's all I had. I left Bible college with $3,000 and a beautiful girlfriend. And I just about qualified. Because the Holy Spirit, the internal compass of my life, was directing me. And some of you are so stressed out about what the future looks like. And God is saying, hey, you don't even have to worry what tomorrow looks like if you've got my Holy Spirit residing in front of you. You see, Noah didn't have to stress out because the dove was on the ark. In 2006, we made a decision to leave Norwich and really pursue the call of God on our lives, Chantel and I. And some of you know this story, but others of you don't. We didn't know what that looked like, but we really felt to resign from our jobs. And Chantel was in a finance company. I was working for the church here, but we felt God was calling us into pastures new. We did not know what that looked like. We headed over to Australia to Hillsong and looked at the options there, and what an amazing opportunity came up. They offered Chantel and I to be the youth pastors of Hillsong. The youth pastors of Hillsong in Sydney. And I was like, that is unbelievable. I was 27, 28 years old, and I got this incredible opportunity. And I'm thinking, great salary, great city. This has got to be God. I mean, this makes sense. This is like career progression. This is fantastic. We'd met in Sydney. We'd fallen in love in Sydney. This was just it. But just as we were leaving Sydney, we bumped into Pastor Phil Doolian, who'd been the youth pastor, and we were talking. He said, well, I need to tell you something. He said, I'm actually moving to Cape Town, South Africa, to start the Hillsong South Africa. He said, if you want to come along for the journey, he goes, we've got no money, no house, no church, no building. He listed all the things that he didn't have for us, which was really exciting. He said, so if you want to go home, sell your house, sell your gear, give me a call. He said, come and live by faith in Africa. Now, we've got a dilemma. I mean, who knows that one makes perfectly good sense? It's called comfort. And the other one was holy discomfort. And they were loggerheads. I said, well, I think we should move to Australia. I think we should do that. That's far better. Look after my wife and just good salary. And she's like, well, what? Listen to your wife, by the way. She said, well, why don't we at least go and visit Cape Town? We can't move our lives over there without going to see Africa. So we went over there for 3 or 4 days with my brother-in-law, Nathan. We had a visit and got to the last day and it just did not move me at all. And the last day they were having a gathering of people in the area who might be interested in calling Hillsong their church home. And Phil and Lucinda, the pastor, said, would you come along and just help us? I said, of course we will. Of course we're here for one more night. So we came along and we realized that they had no help. We were putting chairs out and Chantel was speaking to people. We realized that we were helping them. And I realized that there was a great need there, a great need. So we got on the plane that night, or the next day, or whatever it was, and I'm on the plane, and we have a big dilemma, because suddenly I'm getting pulled towards obedience. But comfort was pulling me the other way, and there's this tension. Have you ever been in life, the tension between comfort and obedience? I said to Chantel, you go to sleep. I said, when you go to sleep, I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And when you wake up, I'm going to ask you this question. Where do you want to live in the next season of your life? And together, we're going to say the same city. And if we say it out loud together, I'll know that that's confirmation. To make a movie, wouldn't it? So she goes to sleep. She can sleep on a plane. I can't sleep. So I'm on a plane, and I'm in turmoil in my mind. Because this isn't just, are we going to the dinosaur park or Pleasured Hills today? That's the kind of decisions I'm making at the moment during the summer holidays, all right? This is the next 6 to 10 years of my life and her life and our kids and our everything. And so I couldn't get to sleep. So I'm flicking through the movies on British Airways and this film comes up. Now, just before you point a finger, I know I was probably 30-odd years old then. What was I doing watching a movie that was created in 1941 called How Green Was My Valley? Has anybody, who's going to own up to watching that movie? 1, 2, 3 people. All the youngsters are thinking I'm crazy. I am crazy, okay? I put that film on. This is what I said. Holy Spirit, I need you to speak to me. I've got 6 hours before this plane lands in Heathrow. We've got to make a decision. So I'm watching this film. And I am bored senseless. It's not a great advert for the movie. It's about a family called the Morgans. They've got 3 sons in one of the Welsh mining villages in South Wales. It's appetizing, isn't it? It'll be on Netflix later. I can see what's going to happen here. So I'm watching this movie, and this is the bit I want you to just stick with me here. One of the sons comes into his mum. He's a miner. And he says, Mum, he says, I can't do this anymore. It's too comfortable. He says, I've got to get some adventure in my life. And the mum says, well, what do you mean? She says, how can you leave? And he says, I've got to leave. She says, well, where are you going to go? Now, remember this movie, 1941, 30,000 feet up. He said, I want to move to Cape Town, South Africa. True story. I'm like, oh no. Now I'm thinking my only get out of jail clause here is if when she wakes up, she says Sydney. Maybe I've just gone bonkers. Maybe I've hallucinated on BA food. What has happened on the last few minutes in this? So an hour later, she wakes up. I looked and I said, after 3, you ready? 1, 2, 3. Cape Town. We both said it. Simultaneously, we said it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had been ministering to her in her bed as she slept, or her seat as she slept on that flight, and the Holy Spirit had spoken to me for a 1941 movie. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will speak to you in ways that you will never believe if you're open. You see, what the Holy Spirit wants you to do is this. He wants you to come and say, Holy Spirit, I am prepared to do anything with my life. I'm prepared to go anywhere. I will lay my job down. I will lay my salary down. I will lay my life down to serve the cause of Jesus Christ. There is no greater cause. Time is short. If you're prepared to do that, if you're prepared to move away from comfort to discomfort, holy discomfort, let me tell you, God can use your life. If not, your life will just circle. Year in, year out, year in, year out. And you'll think, what have I achieved with my life? Noah was simply faithful every day. No compass but the Holy Spirit. What guides your life? Your feelings? You see, don't look for opportunities. I can honestly say in my life, I have not looked for opportunities. And if I have looked for opportunities, they've never worked out. This is what I've done. I've simply said every day, Holy Spirit, fill me. The Holy Spirit is a comfort, but it's also a compass for your life. Don't allow your feelings to direct your future. My confidence in our future as a church is not in what I feel, but what I know. Your confidence as an individual should never be in what you feel, because your feelings will let you down. Your feelings will take you places that you never want to go. But your confidence in life should be in what you know. And this is what I know. My God is for me. My God is on my side. My God will not leave me. And so I can take comfort in that. Number three, and finally, sorry, I've spoken far too long. My future is connected to my past. That might sound a little bit hypocritical. Today, the story of Noah's Ark is the most read story in the whole of the Bible. The mess that Noah was in has become his message. God doesn't want you to forget your past. He just doesn't want you to dwell there. People need to hear your story. God wants to bless your mess. He wants to take what was in your past and bless it in your future. Some of life's worst moments actually make the greatest stories. Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Everything that you are going through in life right now is to help someone else. Chantel yesterday and Brittany, they were up in Glasgow speaking at a women's conference. They flew up and back, and people were sending me pictures of her speaking, and I thought, you know what? Chantel's past is in her future. Because of what had happened to her as a little girl, being sexually abused by her family, by her stepdad, but she's pushed past the mess, and her mess has now become her message. And she's forgiven, and she's let go, and suddenly her future's connected to her past. Don't waste your past. Use your past to slap the devil with. Yesterday, Chantel literally slapped the devil with her past. He said, you know what? You used this to take me out, but now I'm using it to take you out. And she shares her story. Women all over this world are being set free, gloriously free. Because she said, God, this belongs to you. Your future is connected to obedience. It's connected to the Holy Spirit. And it's connected to your past. I believe if you take those three things, you can walk confidently. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about the things ahead of me. I'm trusting God. I'm just saying, Holy Spirit, you guide me. You bring the right relationships into my life and keep the wrong ones out. You bring the right friendships in my life and keep the wrong ones. I don't open doors, I walk through doors. I don't look, I find. Simply because the Holy Spirit is the navigation system for your life. And it brings comfort. It brings the very thing that we want in life. It brings it to us. Comfort. I can rest in him. Why don't we stand tonight? My future is connected to obedience. My future is connected to the Holy Spirit. And my future is connected to my past. I want the worship team to come out. We're going to sing together. Then I'm going to pray for a couple of groups of people. Amen. Let's sing. Thank you. I'd love to pray for you tonight if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. God loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for you. It was a painful, horrific death as He was murdered on the cross. But He did that. He did that on our behalf. He loves you so much. And salvation is a gift. It's a free gift. But John, I don't deserve that. Hey, you're in really good company tonight. We don't deserve it. But we can freely receive that gift of Jesus, that gift of love, that gift of grace, that gift that He loves us despite of our shortcomings and our failures. He's not judging you tonight. He's loving you. You say, well, what's left for me to do? Receive that love. Receive that gift. He died so that you could have life and freedom, as we've been talking about this evening. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes and just give you some privacy. And when I get to three, I'm going to count to three. And you say, John, that's me. That's me tonight. I want to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Maybe you once accepted Him, but you've walked away. Tonight you can come home. God loves you. He accepts you. Every Christian right now is praying for you all over this room. When I get to three, you just slip up your hand. One, God loves you. Two, have that courage in this moment to respond to that love. Three, all over this room, just slip up your hand nice and high. I would love to pray for you. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Beautiful. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. Thank you that He died in my place. Thank you that 3 days later, He rose again. Tonight, I acknowledge my need for you. I invite you to come live in my heart. I am now a follower of Jesus. I will live for you. My future's secure. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give everyone who said that prayer a hand. If you lifted your hand, or even if you didn't lift your hand, but you said that prayer, and you want to talk to one of the team, we've got a gift for you. It's a Bible. And come and speak to us after. Anyone with a lanyard around the neck, we'd love to give you this and celebrate this moment. Please don't leave if you said that prayer. If you're watching online, you can let us know. You can let us know by emailing info@soulchurch. We'd love to connect with you in that moment too. Fantastic.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to see you at one of our Sunday services. For locations and times, please visit soulchurch.com.